Disclaimer: I do not own Naruto, but I do own a wallet cleaning company. First-time customers get their wallets cleaned for free. So send your wallets in. Don't worry about emptying them out beforehand. I'm honest. Chapter 11. Unbreakable. Despite all that had happened, the day was not over yet. As a matter of fact, it had technically just begun. The sun was just finished fully coming up, signifying that it was still rather early in the morning. Even though Naruto wanted to stay with his teammates after discovering they were still alive and in one piece after the fight with Haku, he couldn't. At least, Asuma said he couldn't. Gato never knew that Zabuza had tried tailing them back to Tazuna's home. Therefore, his men were still to attack the bridge, if needed. Naruto, being both spent physically and emotionally, had to be there to assist them if needed. Asuma could hold things down at the house. All it comprised was him securely restraining Haku, making sure Ino and Shikamaru were actually okay, and making sure Tsunami and Inari were safe from any more attacks. With that thought in mind, with knowledge of his objective, Naruto kept himself on the path towards the bridge, hoping that his current physical deficiency due to battle fatigue, damage from Haku, and a lack of speed was slowly fixing itself faster than he thought it ever should have, wouldn't keep him from being useful just in case. I've still got more than enough fight in me if it comes down to it, Naruto thought to himself as his feet hit the path, and again in his rush to the bridge. With Asuma. Asuma returned to the house to find the front door cut down and thought back to the two men that Naruto had killed. Idiots! As he walked inside, he saw Inari crying in a corner of the living room, only to have his wail silenced when Tsunami ran in and grabbed the young boy in a hug. He let the two have a moment to themselves while he saw to his two students. They had just seemingly come back from the dead. You two were very lucky, he thought, as he looked at the still unconscious Haku. Your opponent wasn't bloodthirsty, and actually went out of their way to make sure you two weren't killed. After setting Ino and Shikamaru down in a room with two separate futons, he tied Haku and took her downstairs with him, setting her on the couch. Naruto had actually messed her up pretty badly in the forest. Her injuries weren't life-threatening, but she wasn't going to be any kind of threat until she got some treatment. The kid had no idea what he even did, Asuma thought, looking at Haku. He knows he's won, but he doesn't know where that power came from, or that there even was a power. He probably thinks it was just anger-fueled adrenaline, if he's even thinking about it, which I doubt. He let out a sigh. He knew how things were supposed to go, but this was so narrow-sighted. Damn it, Dad. You should have let me tell Naruto. Either that or you yourself. Do you really think he can go much longer without finding out about the Kyuubi? By the time Jiraiya-sama gets here, like you planned, something bad could actually happen. I trust that kid, but not that thing. Thank you. Asuma turned his head towards the stairs to see Inari looking at him, his eyes still puffy from crying not too long ago. Asuma let out a grunt. For what? I wasn't the one that saved your mom, kid. You should thank the little blonde guy when he comes back. He's the one that found her and beat the guys that took her. In one move, too. Inari thought of Naruto, the guy he had pissed off and gotten to berate him the other day. That was the guy that saved his mom beating those two scary guys with swords in one move? How? Inari asked. Naruto couldn't have been much older than him. How did that guy fight against those thugs like that? Letting out a sigh, Asuma walked to the stairs to head up, seeing and see us getting we're doing. Well, Naruto has a few problems himself, pretty big ones. You lost your father. Well, Naruto never knew either of his parents. In fact, people in our village don't really like Naruto at all. A lot of people see him as useless, or something they'd like to forget exists. How would you like that, for people to try and deny the fact that you're an actual person, and that you exist just like they do? Naruto shook his head. You probably can't imagine that because you've always had people that are happy to see you and love you, people to protect you. So you see, Naruto has more of a reason to cry than you do. Why doesn't he? Inari asked. Asuma shrugged. Probably because he knows it won't change anything. Crying is useless. It doesn't solve problems. The only thing I've ever heard of the kid crying is when he realized his teammates weren't dead. At that, Asuma let out a small smile that came to his face. But then again, it's okay to cry when you're happy. He walked past Inari to continue upstairs, and the boy called out to him again. Wait, where is he now? Naruto, he's on your team like those others, isn't he? Asuma chuckled and ruffled his head. Let's just say, Naruto's job isn't quite done yet. He's got to protect your grandpa, and he'll give it his all, just like with everything else he does. I wouldn't worry about it. He's a ball of energy. Energy and win. What? Inari said with a confused face. Energy and wind? Yeah, Asuma said as he made it the rest of the way upstairs. The wind's the most important part. I hate for him to be a ball of energy and fail. As he made it all the way upstairs, and Inari went downstairs, Asuma found Tsunami leaning against the wall with a smile on her face. Are you all right? I'm fine, she assured him. Naruto was able to stop them before anything could happen. Thank you for talking to Inari like that. I'm sorry, this has all been so much trouble for you all. Asuma waved it off. It's part of the job, ma'am, and it's not over yet. If you think anything is off, I want you to call for me. I'm going to be routinely patrolling the place and keeping an eye on my Genny. The prisoner won't bother any of you. She's no threat. Ring came to his face. I can think of a way to repay me, though. He said, getting a rather shocked look by Tsunami by the sound of want in his tone. She's about to call him out on when he pulled up a pack of cigarettes out of his vest pocket and held it up with the same grin on his face and thumbs up gesture. Tsunami shook her head with a humorous smile on her face. Sorry, Asuma-san. I'd rather the inside of my house not smell like an ashtray. You can smoke outside. She laughed when his shoulders drooped into feet. You know the rules. Asuma kicked at the ground and continued to Ino and Shikamaru, looking dejected. Missing ninja, my own students, even my clients don't give me any respect. Is it me? He said to himself quietly, getting Tsunami to laugh a little more, driving Asuma further into depression. At the bridge under construction, Kakashi snapped his book shut as a boat started coming towards the unfinished edge of the bridge. He had utilized the mist jutsu he copied from Zabuza during their last meeting as a bluff to cover that there was no battle going on. He had gotten Tazuna to get all his workers clear the bridge until the conflict was complete, but the remaining men with him working on the bridge didn't want to just leave. If they were planning to fight Gato over the bridge, they would damn well be there for it. After seeing Naruto put down a good number of them the previous day, they found themselves fired up at the prospect of being able to get their own shot. The village had been stirring ever since the word of some kid that could replicate himself beat down Gato's men came through. Thus, currently on the bridge, it was Kakashi, Choji, Sasuke, in front of Sakura, who was slated with protecting Tazuna throughout whatever happened, and 20 of Tazuna's workers behind them. Taking quite a while with this job, aren't you, Demon of the Mist? Gato's voice said from within the sparse mist. However, it was thick enough for him to not be able to make out much more than silhouettes that he mistook for Zabuza and Haku. When he eventually got close enough to see the masked face of Kakashi, who seemed to be smiling at him, his senses of self-preservation kicked in and he turned to run. Now that's not nice. First you mistake my identity, then you don't even say hello. Those are terrible manners, Kakashi said as he drew a handful of shuriken through the Mikado. However, the mist was in his way. Kakashi mistook his position, wound up hitting three of Gato's hired men, only managing to cut the short man on his shoulders. He continued to run. Anyone who kills that ninja, I'll give you 1,000,000 Ryo, Gato yelled frantically. That finally got his men in gear. Good luck with that, Kakashi said, in a voice that sounded bright and honest before he pointed his fingers forward. Sasuke, Choji, straight ahead. This many bandits wouldn't have been enough to deal with Zabuza, even if they had fought a full battle, and he would have won. Zabuza would have massacred more than half of them before anyone, by some stroke of divinity, managed to put him down. Sasuke nodded and worked through a series of hand seals before placing his fingers by his mouth. Fire release, great fireball jutsu. From the Genin's mouth erupted a roaring flame that cut through the mist, and it hit a large number of Gato's thugs, who were lined up, prepared to charge and take down Kakashi and anyone else that get in their way. Get Gato, Choji! The screams from those hit by the jutsu preceded Choji's body expanding to that of a ball as he tucked his limbs into his clothes and began rolling. Human bullet tank! He began to pick up momentum as he headed forward, knocking around any of Gato's men that managed to find themselves in his way, either by knocking them off the bridge or entirely smashing them into the ground under him. Kakashi quickly dealt with anyone that managed to get through the combined assault of his two students and still come forward. The entire time, the mist from his jutsu was clearing up, and the workers were able to get a clear view of what was happening. Namely, Gato's assault squad was being broken down by three hired ninja. A series of cheers went up from everyone who could see what was happening. A blur jumped over their heads and landed right in front of Tazuna, right by Sakura. What's going on, Sakura? Did I miss much? Sakura quickly turned to her side to see Naruto staring out at the fight between their comrades and Gato's men with his fist clenched. He had a rather appearance. Naruto, what happened? How did everything go with Zabuza? Not good, he said with a frown. We need to fight them when they didn't listen and tried to kill us, but it's okay. Ino and Shikamaru were kind of beat up, but we won. Naruto's eyes narrowed on the scene in front of him. And these are Gato's guys that we knew were coming today, right? Sakura nodded. Yeah, just like you and Sasuke said they would. She couldn't see his eyes behind his goggles, but she could clearly tell there was nothing goofy or fun about this Naruto doll. Nothing like the one that had just been throwing rocks at her. Nothing anywhere near like the one that had been constantly pestering her in the academy. And just as she started to think this, she saw him bounce on his toes and charge forward, prompting her to grab hold of his arm. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Where do you think you're going? Kakashi sensei, Sasuke and Choji can handle this. Help me watch out for Tazuna. Naruto turned towards her, his goggles obscuring his attempt at puppy dog eyes. But Sakura, I can still fight. I'm so pissed off. Can't you watch him on your own? And what am I going to do if Gato has another Jonin waiting to attack, idiot? I'm all alone, she said with a tick mark on her head. Just calm down and wait it out. She jerked him back to her side, ignoring his pout and not being able to fight or get a shot at Gato so she could focus back on staying alert despite how well things were going. Just when you think this guy's starting to be a bit cooler, her personality griped in her place. Fine, Naruto said, watching Kakashi, Sasuke, and Choji beat the rest of Gato's goons with next to no effort after they'd already eliminated the bulk of them with ninjutsu beforehand. He formed his signature hand seal and decided at least he could do, he could at least help out support staff. Multiple shadow clone jutsu, over 20 clones formed and headed off down the bridge in case there was anyone that needed help. Sasuke finished his fight way towards the end of the bridge through Gato's men and found his boat leaving. The young adventurer narrowed his eyes at the departing vessel and took out a kunai. Oh no, you don't, he mutters. He started wrapping an explosive tag at the handle, setting it to begin burning down as he took aim to prepare and prepared to throw. His fireball wouldn't reach that far. Even the kunai, he'd need to hit impeccable aim to hit. Stupid brats, that was my meal ticket, a man shouted with a small club in his hands, breaking Sasuke's concentration. He smashed Sasuke's hand, knocking the kunai down to the ground as it continued to burn. Sasuke looked at it, let out a gasp as it neared its detonation time. Shutting his eyes, Sasuke wondered why he hadn't been blown to bits. After a few seconds, even though he'd heard the explosion, he hadn't bothered to move. The ground he would need to cover in less than a second would have been possible for him. Opening his eyes, he found himself a decent distance away from the explosive tag that killed him. He didn't understand what happened. All he saw was that he and the others had been reinforced by Naruto's clones, who were using their rather short lifespans to take advantage of Gato's men not seeing them coming in order to put them down fast before being dispelled. Naruto got his memory back from one of the first clones he'd sent off and found it had paid dividends in the fight as it kept Sasuke from injuring himself, or maybe even killing himself by using Kurimi to switch with him when he dropped his kunai. Phew! Naruto exhaled in relief. Sakura looked over at the relieved Naruto. What happened? Naruto shook his head. Nothing. But that explosion at the end of the bridge almost had Sasuke in the middle of it. He heard Sakura gasp and quickly assuaged her fears. It's okay. My clone got him out of it. He's fine. Sakura's face reflected the relief she felt. This was turning out well. Very well. Zabuza had been defeated and was out of the way, no longer a threat. Gato's attempt to cheapskate his way out of a deal with someone under his employ was failing quite epically. Kakashi had to admit, his genin were working well. Then again, an opponent who wasn't Zabuza this time would probably have seemed easy to them. Even with the numbers, they were disorganized. And with seeing kids perform jutsu with little amount of a formation, they could boast having quickly fell apart. Especially when it came clear that Gato had ditched them. And then when Naruto's clones came storming onto the scene with the vengeance, knowing what his clones had done to the last batch of thugs that came through, they had all but given up. He quickly disposed of another of the few remaining thugs with a hard backhand strike to the face, turning towards the site of an explosion on the bridge. Kakashi saw Sasuke running towards him, dodging men on his way to effortlessly and brutally kicking them to the ground without much thought. Once he reached Kakashi, he stopped in front of his commander and spoke, anger underlying his rather usual stoic tone. Gato's gone. He got away. He's too far to reach from here. Kakashi sighed as that miniature headache was still around and walking about. But their mission wasn't to hunt down and kill Gato. It was to protect the bridge builder, and they had done that. It would take time for Gato to reamass a force that he felt comfortable with having them take them on. if he ever decided to again. For now, at least, everything was all right. As he looked down at his brood beginning, Kakashi's words died in his throat. Instead, gave Sasuke his notorious eye smile. "It's all right, Sasuke. The mission is still well in hand. Oh, and by the way, congratulations." As Kakashi decided to do one last sweep of the bridge for injured enemies to capture, Sasuke wondered what he was talking about. He wouldn't know until his adrenaline died down. He looked into something that showed him his reflection, where he would see red eyes with a single tomo centered around each pupil. A few hours later, other than the thugs that had been killed by Sasuke's initial firearms and the ones crushed by Choji's family jutsu that wound up dying of those injuries, the defeated higher hands were all rounded up and captured by the group of ninja and processed to an area to be held by the overjoyed townspeople. The sight of the bridge workers leading the beaten up Bruce that had been terrorizing them for well over a year brought everyone from their homes to cheer for the victory. After finding a building to hold the men inside and no shortage of volunteers eager to guard them until a solution to what to do with them came up, the Konoha ninja decided to head back to Tazuna's house. As the house came into sight, Naruto with his goggles once again out of his face and a rather tired smile on his face as he walked up to the porch. "Yeah, I did it. I'm a winner. All I do is win. All day long, you know? God, I'm tired," he said, opening the door and walking over to the couch, where he immediately sat down, tilted his head back, and fell asleep. There stared at him from behind the couch at the door, before shrugging and heading upstairs. Kashi stared at the loudly snoring Naruto and shook his head. "Well, he hasn't gotten any sleep or rest of any kind for over 24 hours. I guess it's only a matter of time before he clocked out for the night. Even though it's still light outside," his eyes then rested on the still unconscious Haku. They'd been laying out on the same couch that Naruto sat on, further on down. "And this is our hunter ninja, I see. You're back," Asuma said, walking down the stairs without his slack jacket on, a new shirt, one with no blood or cuts in it. "I assume everything went well." Kakashi nodded. "As well as we could have expected, although Gato didn't want to stick around once he realized we weren't injured in the least. He left his men behind to cover him and wound up getting away." "Oh well," Asuma dismissed with a sigh. "He'll be back and we'll be waiting. Besides, Naruto and Sasuke gleamed the location of his base on the wave out of one of his men the other day. If you're feeling antsy, we can check it out. See if we can't nip this in the bud while we still have him on the ropes," he suggested to the mass ninja. "Maybe," Kakashi said. "We'll have to think about it." Asuma accepted that there is no reason to go all out after they basically broke the back of Gato's homegrown force of men and the missing ninja he went out of his way to hire. Contacting more that were strong enough to beat them would take more time than he had. The bridge would be done in less than a week at this rate. He looked down at the sleeping Naruto and smiled. "The brat did good today. He did the lion's share of the fighting against her," he said, gesturing towards Haku. Kakashi raised his only visible eyebrow in shock. "That's rather impressive. I'd give him some serious points for style if that were the case, because that would make this one hell of a day for a genin, or any ninja." He leveled a half-hearted glare at Asuma. "Of course, you would have been the one that strong-armed him onto your team instead of mine. I don't get any respect at all. Well, that is until I actually fight people. Then I get respect. Where's that fear?" "Meh, fear, respect. Same difference." He then turned his attention to Haku. "What do we do with her?" Asuma replied quickly, as he had all day to think about what exactly to do. "She's our prisoner until the bridge is complete." "Just until then?" Kakashi asked. Asuma nodded. "By then, the mission will be over. Even now, Gato won't be paying for Tazuna's assassination, if he even stuck around. He knows what we're going to do, so he's either fortified his place in the Land of Ways with the last of his men, or he's cutting his losses and getting the hell out of here." Kakashi's vote leaned towards the latter. Unless he had another ninja of Zabuza's caliber lined up, there was no way to swing that kind of contact in only a week. He would run. Sasuke neglected to mention which way Gato's boat was heading when he left. Man still had control of the sea lanes, so hooking him up with one of his supply ships on the way to the mainland was far from impossible. Still, 5 days wasn't enough for him to get a decent amount of any kind of force together. His criminal acts were supposed to be under the radar at large. "He's gone from here," Kakashi confirmed. "The wave is only one place that he's trying to enforce complete control over because he saw an opportunity and could keep the place isolated, so word never got out. He still has branches and branches of businesses elsewhere though he may lose some face when the events of what happened here get out to the public around the world. He said that, but he doubted it. Guys like Gato needed to be finished off, or they would cause trouble elsewhere. Oh well, there was always a chance that he would do something like this again, and he'd be waiting. Maybe if you were lucky, someone else would get a shot at him and finish the worm for them. Good, Asuma said, as he headed towards the front door to get some air. Now, I'm going into the forest. Confirm Zabuza's dead. Scream in pain for a few minutes. Zabuza might have cracked some ribs during our fight. And you're doing your own stitches sucks because you can't use any painkillers. Have fun, Kakashi replied flippantly to his fellow Jonin. Okay. Sakura, Sasuke, and Choji looked at a bedridden Ino with wide eyes after hearing what she said. You're saying Naruto was the one that beat up the hunter ninja? Sakura asked in disbelief. Ino nodded weakly. She and Shikamaru wouldn't be moving about freely for at least a full day due to their bodies having been in total shutdown for as long as they had been. Shikamaru didn't seem to have a problem with this at all, as many he can catch up on his sleeping, which he was currently doing. And this left Ino to field all the questions that the others, namely Sakura, had after they'd gotten the lowdown from the others on just what they had done at the bridge. How? Choji asked. He remembered what Kakashi said about that person being powerful and how they were caught off guard by the hunter ninja when Zabuza was rescued. Ino frowned. I didn't see that part. Me and Shikamaru didn't last long after we freed Naruto from the weird Dome of Mirrors. The plan Shikamaru had was working perfectly, but we weren't able to completely keep her boxed in without Naruto there to keep up the pressure. She had injured him with a ton of Senbon. His muscles were totally shredded. I don't have any idea how he was able to win all on his own. Even he said he wasn't able to move that fast. And she was seriously fast. Choji looked over at his sleeping best friend. So you and Shikamaru are okay, right? He said in a concerned manner. He wasn't even eating anything during Ino's explanation. Yeah, Ino said. Shikamaru is just taking advantage of her body's being useless for the time being and sleeping. Sakura looked at the floor of the room apprehensively. I don't really like Zabuza's hunter ninja being in the same house as us, even if she already was defeated. Naruto beat her already, Sasuke said firmly. It's over, Sakura. She's not a threat anymore, so it's nothing to worry about. He said he was going to leave the room. He had heard all he needed to about what happened. All things considered, it had been a relatively good day all around, considering how it started, especially for Sasuke. After his close call with the explosive tag, he managed to unlock a Sharingan. He still didn't know how he got out of there, but decided not to lick a gift horse in the mouth. Later that night, Naruto woke up suddenly, remembering the last thing he did was crash out on the sofa once he had gotten through with everything he had done for the last day and a half. He found that a blanket had been thrown over him. The lights in the room had all been turned on. The blonde cracked his neck, having it hang backwards hours without moving, and stretched out, bumping into someone next to him on the couch. It shifted slightly, but other than that, it didn't move. Naruto rubbed his eyes and looked to his side in the dark. Yawning, he quickly let out a pulse of his echolocation jutsu. It saw Haku's form in his mind right next to him, tied up. From this range, he could make out every last detail on her. He knew that her eyes were open, and she was wide awake, just like him. He just sat there in the dark, not moving or saying anything. However, by then, he'd also made it clear that he was awake as well. He heaved a deep sigh and spoke. Haku, did you keep my team alive on purpose? Yes, she said lowly. Naruto could tell that her spirit was broken. When she saw Asuma walk over after the fight with Zabuza, she knew what had happened. Naruto had freaked out when he thought his friends were dead. He could only imagine how Haku felt knowing that, unlike him, her precious person was actually dead. No false death state for him, especially when Asuma left and actually confirmed the kill after they had all gotten back. But Naruto wasn't aware of that part. Thank you. Thank you, was all Naruto could really say to her. She could have killed his friends. It probably would have taken more effort for her to find a way to simply incapacitate them instead of going for the kill. If you were really grateful, Haku said in the same low tone as before, you would kill me, Naruto. Naruto found himself getting rather angry at her again. I told you already. I'm not going to kill you, Haku. At first, I was going to do it to be mean, seeing as how you wanted to die. I'm not going to do it, but I'm still not going to do it. What kind of way to repay you is that? You let them live and went against orders, in return I kill you? That doesn't really sound great, does it? He finished sarcastically. Zabuza was all I had, Haku said earnestly. Her voice started to sound rather choked up as she gave him her story about how, as a child, her father had killed her mother, tried to kill her too, due to her Kekkei Genkai. how she managed to kill him in self-defense, and how she'd roamed the streets before being found on the verge of death by Zabuza. He was the only person in the world that acknowledged my existence, gave me a purpose. Now he's gone. Tell me, Naruto, she said. Without even a light in the room, he could tell she had turned her eyes in an attempt to lock his. What am I supposed to do now? Anything, Naruto answered immediately. You can do anything you want, Haku, Naruto said, feeling his ire of her dying down now that everything was over, especially since everything she had known had been taken away in this one mission. I understand, but the difference between me and you is that if you actually killed Ino and Shikamaru, I would have kept going, somehow. I'm not telling you to suck it up and get over it. How could I? I'm just saying you're still alive, and living for a single person like that, while it might feel like you're needed, what do you do when you fail? You look at you. You want me to kill you so you can follow Zabuza. I was his tool, she said, trying to defend her viewpoint on the matter. I was a weapon only meant for Zabuza to use for his goals. I'm not good for anything other than that. He was really arguing a losing battle here. Haku was so completely devoted to Zabuza that without him there wasn't anything else to her. What else could he do? Get her someone else to live for? Who, him? Yeah, right. If not a person, then. Haku, Naruto said, getting her attention once more. What exactly were Zabuza's goals? You said he needed you for them. But what exactly was he trying to do? He almost didn't want to know. Zabuza had not been a particularly pleasant person, to say the least. Between fighting Team 7, shooting him down when he tried to warn him of Gato's treachery, tailing them home to take out Tazuna, and trying to kill them on top. To top it all off, he certainly hadn't endeared himself to Naruto, something that otherwise wasn't that hard to do to the boy. The boy had to admit to himself. He certainly wouldn't be losing any oversleep of Zabuza being put down once and for all. He was a right many notches above those scumbags Naruto had put 6 feet deep on the path to Tazuna's house, but far from a good person. Haku sounded eager to explain what made Zabuza tick, it appeared, as if she wanted what she had to say would make Naruto believe he's a wonderful person, somehow. Zabuza's ambition was to kill the Mizukage and wrest control of the mist from him. And there, everything that went. Another notch for Zabuza dropped. Naruto never really needed to know that. Naruto could never even consider trying to take Hokage Ichiji. The man was a hero to him. But Haku continued. The country has been suffering unrest for quite some time. The barbaric practice of academy students fighting one another to the death to become shinobi. The encouragement of exterminating those with Kekkei Genkai like myself were just a few examples of the man's crimes. No one else would stand against him. And that changed things. Hearing that Zabuza actually stood against something like that seemed pretty heavy. But then again, if that was why he was fighting, then why on earth was he helping Gato? That seemed rather counterproductive in the grand scheme of things. The money for assisting Gato was very good, Haku said, answering the question Naruto never asked her in the first place, Shikichi explained. It would have served as a fantastic point of beginning to fund a possible return to the Land of Waves, another attempt at the Mizukage, possibly with far more assistance this time, and a palpable chance at actually changing the regime. Hearing how much happier in comparison Haku sounded when talking about Zabuza's ambition gave him an idea. If she was originally only living for Zabuza, then why not live for Zabuza's ideal? He had just had to make sure it wasn't something evil, like he originally thought it was. Naruto put a hand on her and told her what he thought. Hey, instead of trying to die because Zabuza isn't here anymore, why don't you try and carry out his dream for him in his place? Yeah, you could totally do that, Haku. He said it in an encouraging manner. What? Haku looked rather shocked at the process. She had to admit the idea had merit. To finish up Zabuza's unfinished business would be something that she could do to find herself useful for her master, even after his death. Still, how would she even possibly pull that off? Not even Zabuza could do it. I don't think I could ever. Rather perturbed voice cut her off. If Zabuza had told you that he wanted you to do that for him, would you have said you can never do it? Naruto fired back, stopping her from doubting her own capabilities any longer. Naruto knew that Hokage Jiji had asked him to do something he would try, no matter how big of a goal it was. Hell, he already had a huge goal ahead of him. It doesn't matter how long it takes. The point of having a goal in life is to give it purpose. Like me, I want to be Hokage, to protect everyone I care about, just like you said I should. Even though I know that something like that won't happen for a long, long time, but I'll make it happen eventually. So you shouldn't say you can't flat out do it just because you know it'll be hard. If it was what Zabuza really wanted, do you think he would have just quit? Of course not. That's why he took this job. That's why he worked for Gato. That's why he fought us. Because he wasn't done going for his goal. I could just lay there, still bound on the couch, thinking about what Naruto had just said. His voice sounded completely confident, in a way that he truly believed what he was saying. There's no deceit in his tone. She couldn't find anything dishonest with how he was talking to her. And for a moment, Haku flashed back to the boy in the forest she had first met. She had more or less betrayed him, and here he was trying to cheer her up and actually find something for her to live for. This boy is one of a kind, Haku thought to herself. He seems so kind and unassuming to those around him, but that power within him, whenever he is angered, is truly frightening. Like standing across from the devil himself in all his fury. Haku could only imagine the amount of power that she had felt earlier this morning was packed inside Naruto's 12-year-old body. He couldn't comprehend it. As she thought, Naruto chuckled slightly. Besides, if I end up getting to be Hokage before you beat the Mizukage, then I'll just have to help you out, won't I? He said. She couldn't see him, but she could tell he'd given her one of those grins he'd done multiple times in the forest on the other day when they had first met. That's what friends do, after all. Hearing him call her a friend again got Haku to widen her brown eyes in surprise. He really did forgive her, and knowing that, she couldn't fight down her own smile, even in the situation she is. Yes, that's what friends do, Naruto. I'd gladly accept your help in the future. But I have to become way stronger if I were to ever defeat the Mizukage. I will too, Naruto said. Hokage can't be weak, can he? The next day, Asuma walked into the room his team was using for lodging to find that Naruto wasn't there. He wasn't downstairs either, but Haku was right where he left her, looking rather bored. Other than that, she was fine. He'd have to see about having a doctor come up and check on her. That and make sure that Ino and Shikamaru wouldn't suffer any lasting effects from Haku's senbon, putting them in a near-death state. Hello, my temporarily invalid genin, he said brightly, getting a groan out of Shikamaru and a yawn of the awakening genin. How are you feeling today? Ino sat up relatively easily and stretched her arms out. I'm fine. A little stiff, but better than yesterday, sensei. How are things coming along with the bridge? Asuma smiled. The villagers have some fire back in them. By a little, I mean a lot. It seems like they, all of them that are want to work on it in some way. So are you up for guarding Tasuna today? Yeah, Ina said, her hair down comfortably. I guess I should make myself useful in some way on this mission. Asuma frowned, hearing her speak like that. What are you talking about, Ina? You've been incredibly useful so far. Why are you saying that? Ina shook her head. Really haven't been. The only fighting so far that we did, either Naruto handled it all, or when I actually had to fight Haku, I wound up getting beaten. We might as well face facts. Shikamaru and I might as well not have been there. Naruto beat her without any help. You were more of a catalyst than you'll ever know, Ino. Asuma turned to Shikamaru, facing away from them in his futon. Is that how you feel, Shikamaru? You didn't dispute her. And don't play dead over there. I can tell you're awake. He said, giving a sigh from the pineapple-haired boys. He turned around. Shikamaru had his usual bored expression on his face. Well, I won't say we were useless. We did manage to get Naruto out of that tough scrap while he was inside the dome. But in the end, he was the one that got hurt doing all the fighting. All that Hunter Ninja did was disable us in one move once we were found out. In a head-on fight, Naruto was the only one that was a match. And Asuma said questioningly. He wanted to hear what Shikamaru had to say on the matter. What does that mean to you? It's troublesome, Shikamaru complained, getting Ino to roll her eyes at hearing him use his catchphrase. But letting Naruto handle all the real fighting isn't fair to him. We saw what was happening to Asuma. He was getting torn apart in that dome. I don't know how he lasted the entire time. I only got hit a fifth of the times he did, and that was all I could take. Ino held herself and shivered. He had so many needles in his body, all over. I took one of them, and my entire body shut down. He stood up and fought like looking like a porcupine. I can't believe it now that I'm thinking back on it. Her eyes hardened. He's our teammate, and we can't just use him and wait for him to set up Shikamaru's strategies for the checkmate. He's tough. What if next time he fought someone with more power behind their attacks to go with the speed? How much would be too much? Asuma let her get out her frustrations, the fears she had after the fight with Haku before speaking. You know, Naruto's the one who thinks he failed you guys. Heck up the eyes of both Shikamaru and Ino, the locker room they on him, as if they were willing him to elaborate. He thought Haku killed you both at first, and he knew that he was the muscle behind the team. When you both went down, he felt like he was too weak, that he couldn't live up to the importance of his job. We're supposed to be a team, Ino insisted. It's my fault that we are so imbalanced, and have to rely on Naruto for frontline fighting. He shouldn't blame himself because I couldn't defend himself.
Shikamaru sat and thought about his role on the team. He actually enjoyed it so far, because Naruto was always willing to step up and do whatever tasks they had. He didn't want to say that Naruto carried the bulk of the work because of him, but it was definitely disproportionate between Naruto and Ino, who always seemed to do more than him. Even in the battle with Haku, that seemed to be the case. As much as it sucked to admit, it would wind up getting someone killed against an opponent that wasn't as merciful as Haku. The laziest member of the Team 10 sat up in his futon and rubbed the back of his neck. Well, a good strategist fights on the field with his own soldiers. After all, if I feel good enough about a plan to send Naruto in, I better be willing to step in there myself along with him. He let out a sigh. And if I'm going to be able to keep up with that troublesome bastard, I gotta start getting better at being more than just number one at running away and hiding. So damn troublesome.
Asuma looked at his students proudly. He made a conscious thought to step up and start guiding them towards whatever they felt they needed to make themselves better than once they got home.
That's how you teach. Kurenai claims I'm not good at a good role model. What does she know anyways? My kids have great morals and common sense.
Naruto stood with his foot tapping on the ground impatiently.
Come on, let's get this show on the road. I want to kick your ass before breakfast is ready, Sasuke.
Sakura and Choji, even Inari, stood off to the side at the end of the clearing among the trees.
Yeah, whatever, Dobe, Sasuke said, stretching himself out to get ready before shoving his hands into his pockets. We need a referee for this.
He looked over at Sakura, who seemed eager to volunteer for Sugarhead. She'd probably call the fight in his favor and disqualify Naruto for landing a punch.
Choji, how about it?
Choji walked forward, eating from a bag of chips. I don't think this is such a good idea, guys. What are you guys even fighting for? Sasuke started shaking his arms and legs out to get ready to move them in a fight.
Nothing. Sasuke called me out a few days ago. I accept it. We're going to fight. What's to understand?
Sasuke nodded in agreement.
It's just a little test. Not a big deal. So don't worry about it. Apparently, the Dobe got himself killed yesterday. Almost got himself killed yesterday, and so did I. So who cares about a spar?
He looked over at Naruto. Rules?
Naruto stroked his chin and thought. Everything is legal. No shots to the groin for obvious reasons. No explosive tags. Duh. When Choji calls the fight, that's it. No dispute. And to keep this from going all day, we need a time limit. 10 minutes?
Sasuke nodded.
Right. If it goes on for 10 minutes, it's an automatic draw. We have all the clearing and can go into the trees a little bit. You know how far is too far. If you go that far, I'll be able to tell anyways, and I'll call you on it.
Agreed, Sasuke consented to the rules, and set himself in a ready stance as Naruto did.
Whenever you're ready.
I've been ready for almost a week, Naruto quit, before turning his eyes momentarily to Choji. We're going to start when you say go.
Choji let out a sigh. I still think this is a really bad idea. You guys aren't going to listen to me anyways.
Go, he yelled before jumping back out of the way, closer to Sakura and Inari. At the same time, Naruto and Sasuke let fly with a kunai that flew past the other towards the target. Both boys easily dodged. Sasuke spoke up.
You're throwing kunai, Dobe.
Naruto pointed at him.
You did too. Besides, I knew you were Jodge. It wasn't supposed to hit you.
Shikamaru says the first move is always a feint.
Feints usually mean you do something afterwards, Sakura. Feints usually mean something you do something afterwards, Sakura.
Naruto. Sakura chimed in from her place on the sideline.
Not helping, Sakura. Naruto said, forming his cross-hand seal. Shadow clone jutsu.
In a puff of smoke, three clones formed, and Naruto pointed at Sasuke.
Let's see what he's got. Go, Sasuke-kun!
Sakura shouted from the sidelines as Naruto's clones ran towards Sasuke, crisscrossing to try and disorient him. One slid low towards Sasuke with a sliding kick as a feint. It was intended to get him off balance.
Those solid clones of his, Sasuke thought, before he quickly blocked the first kick, ducked a punch from the second one.
A third came at him from his side, and reached out to grab hold of him, but Sasuke moved behind the clone he had dodged and shoved him into the grabbing clone's path. Using this opening, he finished off the low attacking clone with a quick kick that dispelled it. He then punched the clone he had used as a weapon against the other in the back and got rid of that one as well. The final clone didn't waste its existence and threw a kick at Sasuke that he once again blocked. However, it smirked when it channeled chakra to the bottom of its sandal and stuck fast to Sasuke's arm that he used to block it. Sasuke found that he couldn't get his arm off the clone's leg as he used his arm as leverage to elevate and stand on him to deliver a series of stomps with the other leg down on Sasuke that he used his other arm to block, straining to hold Naruto's clone up with the first arm.
Enough of this, Sasuke thought as he let his arms go slack and dropped the clone to the ground hard, dispelling it.
Other than a few scuffs from Naruto's sandals on his arm warmers, Sasuke didn't have any damage on him.
Gobi's got some dangerous taijutsu. The real one won't be that easy to shake off, I know it. He looks back where he's left Naruto to see him wave at him. That was good, Teme, Naruto said before forming the ram seal. Let's try this. And a puff of smoke completely obscured his body. Naruto seemed to disappear. Sasuke's eyes wide. Was that a clone too? No, I had a clear view of him the whole time. He wouldn't have had a chance to switch with a clone and hide. So that means fucking body flicker jutsu. I gotta learn how to do that, he mumbled before a smirk came to his face. Well, now's as good a time as any to put this to the test. He said as he let his eyes activate the Sharingan, prepared for any move Naruto would make as he waited for him out a minute or two. All he needed was the sound, the slightest movement. He turned his head to see anything coming his way. Come out, Dobby. There's nowhere you can hide that I won't find you. Who's hiding? A group of voices chorused simultaneously from one side of the clearing. Over a dozen Narutos dropped from the trees, all cracking their knuckles and smirking. You could take on three of us straightforward. And the clone picked up where that single one had left off. But let's see how you deal with the boss's coordinated assault, he said as a few clones jumped into the air and threw shuriken at Sasuke to cover the approach of the infantry clones that began to rush towards Sasuke. Sasuke quickly fished out a set of shuriken, each of them, and took aim immediately. The second clones jumped into the air, his Sharingan had pegged them all the way. By the time they'd reached the apex of their jumps and were prepared to let their weapons go, they had already been hit and dispelled by Sasuke's own. Ground clone Sam released his shuriken without missing a beat, even checking to see if he hit his targets. Sasuke immediately rolled through his hand seals for his next move. Fire release. Great fireball jutsu. From Sasuke came a towering fireball that hit the clones and roasted them into defeat, leaving a modest crater where it had been. Sarko looked at Sasuke, handily dispatching Naruto's clones with his clan signature jutsu. Sasuke is so cool. Look, he beat all those Narutos just like that. Shuichi gulped in apprehension. What if the real Naruto was in there? He won't have to explain to Kakashi and Asuma why Naruto is extra crispy once they came back from breakfast. Stop! Everyone froze. Naruto casually watched out of the hiding place in the trees, strolled over to Sasuke's crater, where there are still remnants of flames flickering on it. Naruto fished out a cigarette from his jacket and used the fire on the ground to light it, and took a long drag, exhaling release. Okay, now I'm good, he said with a grin. Sasuke narrowed his eyes and flicked a shuriken at Naruto, hitting him only for him to burst into smoke. Fucking stupid-ass clone, Naruto griped audibly as he rushed from his cover of the forest at Sasuke, while the other clones concealed the foliage, covered him with projectiles. Sasuke dodged the weapons he saw coming clearly. He threw his own in return. That got him the satisfying popping sounds of clones dropping like flies, and prepared for a fistfight with the original, who looked like he was through messing around. Instead of waiting for Naruto to try and make contact with his dangerous taijutsu, Sasuke shot up a sidekick at Naruto's stomach that hit him and forced Naruto to let off an oof that sounded like music to Sasuke's ears. Tenmei kicks harder than Ino, that's for sure, thought as he latched onto Sasuke's legs and saw the realization in his eyes as he knew that Naruto had him right where he wanted him. Not accepting that Naruto had the clear advantage, Sasuke contorted his body and delivered a punch that hit Naruto on top of the head, forcing Naruto to click his teeth together when his jaw slammed shut. Well, all well and good for Sasuke, but Naruto still had his leg. Damn it, he stuck to me like glue. Sasuke mused frantically as his eyes could clearly see, but do nothing about it. As Naruto still had him, he couldn't dodge, he was stuck. No amount of blocking would save him for long. Naruto was clearly more physically strong than he was, and could take one hell of a punch. Naruto reached forward and swept out Sasuke's single standing leg from his own, sending the boy falling to the ground before he could even hit the dirt. Naruto had already let go of Sasuke's sternum and vaulted himself up. When Sasuke hit the ground, Naruto landed on his stomach and sternum with both feet, driving the air out of Sasuke, but not much more, as he wasn't heavy enough to do more damage without a higher jump. Naruto's foot stuck to Sasuke's chest and shot at his other foot leg up, and for what would be an axe kick to either his head or chest. Good to go! Sasuke saw him lift his leg in the air for a follow-up strike, and rolled to the side, knocking Naruto to the ground, allowing him to stand back up. Only he found that even when he stood back up, Naruto's foot was still stuck to his chest, and he saw the sole of Naruto's second shoe coming up right at his grill in slow motion as it kicked the daylights out of him. Sasuke stumbled back, but Naruto's foot remained attached to his chest. All he was really doing was dragging Naruto across the ground, something Naruto had absolutely no problems with. He found no relief or mercy from the blonde human anchor, as Naruto peppered his person with nasty upkicks to any place on Sasuke that they could reach. Head, body, hell, even the legs. It didn't matter. Naruto's legs were like angry, violent pistons, and as long as he didn't kick Sasuke in the junk, by accident, it was all good. One kick from Naruto got the inside of Sasuke's knee, dropped him to the ground with one leg. Sasuke saw Naruto cock his foot back for a particularly hard kick to the face that would have had him seeing stars if not knocked him out altogether. Sasuke only had one course of action. He didn't really want to do this out of here. Still, it was either this or get kicked in the face for until 10 minutes ran out or until he blacked out, whichever came first. Naruto was surprised when Sasuke dropped his head and wound up taking the kick right against the metal of the headband. Good defense, he thought. He wasn't disheartened by this and prepared another kick. That was when the plan went south. As quick. Sasuke apparently decided that getting kicked in the face at Naruto's leisure wasn't how he wanted to spend the rest of his morning, and slipped out of his shirt before leaving Naruto with a parting kick. A low kick meant to sweep out his legs, but instead, due to Naruto being on his back, he wound up kicking Naruto right in the face. After delivering the kick, Sasuke had never backpedaled away from someone so quickly in his entire life, except for in the academy, away from his legions of... He stopped thinking and turned towards the silence where Sakura was staring at him blankly. If he were closer, he could have sworn she was drooling a bit. No way. She was a ninja. No matter how much of a fangirl she was, a ninja didn't drool while watching a fight. Naruto must have kicked him harder in the head than he thought. Sasuke's lips and nose were busted. He had a pretty good shiner over one of his eyes. Lesson of the day was do not let Naruto so much as lay a finger on you, or he'd turn you into a fine pulp. How to fight without enough distance to stick and move was never covered in the academy, because ninja were supposed to be more nimble than others, be able to avoid attacks from regular people. Sasuke found that there was no room to move, and with Naruto being just as fast as him apparently, when Naruto threw something, it was almost guaranteed to hit, because even if he could see it, he still had to react to it. It was sticking and moving for Naruto unless the sticking was him grabbing hold of you. And moving was him moving your jaw or rattling your brain with whatever he did next. Naruto jumped back to his feet with a bloody lip and spit on the ground. A smirk came to his face. That was the one that was actually returned by Sasuke. Sasuke prepared for the fight to keep going. Just you wait. I'm only getting started. You got good taijutsu. Let's see how you handle what else I've got. Naruto chuckled. I'm not even using my clones with my taijutsu. Wait till you get a load of that. They started walking towards each other slowly, before steadily breaking into a run towards each other. Time! Sasuke slid to a stop in the grass. Naruto stepped over his own foot, falling into the ground face first. The boys both looked at Choji, who had a firm look. That's time. The fight's over. Inari looked between the two. Who won? I won, Naruto said with a bloody grin. Or did me kicking him again and again not mean anything? Sasuke stopped. As if, Dobby. I was working your clones over. There's no way he's going to let you get close enough to grab me again. Choji shrugged in confusion, and Sakura for once wasn't saying anything at all. No jumping to Sasuke's defense or anything. This was solely because Sasuke was only a few feet in front of her, shirtless with sweat going down his chest. Yeah, she was no more good for the rest of the day with that picture in her head. Now, in addition to having gone on a C-ranked mission that was upgraded to A-ranked mission, she had something else to brag about when she got home. Sadly for Sakura, all good things come to an end. Sasuke quickly noticed what the problem was. The young Uchiha ran back to his shirt and quickly threw it on, dusting off the shoe print on the chest and casually walking back over. Naruto rubbed his jaw. Man, that last kick snapped my head back. I didn't even see that one coming. He tested opening and closing his mouth several times, flinching. Sasuke wiped his nose and mouth. I'm going to bruise like a tomato later, he grumbled lowly. The two looked at each other. Good fight, Dobe Teme, they said at the same time. Okay, Choji said in excitement. Pissing contest over. Let's go back and get some food. I'm hungry, he said, actually taking charge and blazing a trail back through the woods to Tazen's house, while Sakura preened over Sasuke, checking over the wounds on his face. Inari walked up to Naruto and fell into stride with him. You want that fight, Naruto. Naruto looked at Inari and saw a little boy smiling up at him. At least someone called it right down the middle. He said, giving him a grin in return. Hey, the kid didn't hate him, wasn't moping around. That was definitely a start, wasn't it? 5 days later. Finished bridge. Mainland side. The 5 days were very low-key in comparison to the rest of the mission, especially Team 7, who hadn't gotten any other real missions to compare it to before this. Eventually, the bridge wound up being a mission complete as it was time for everyone to head home. You really have to leave so soon? Nari said sadly to Naruto as he and his family and a good number of the village and bridge workers came to see the two teams of ninja off as they left. Naruto had tried to Inari tried to stick to Naruto like glue after what happened with Naruto saving his mother. The town had heard what had happened on the bridge with the workers twice. Once alone and once with help, the boys with the power of replication fought off Gato's goons. Seeing Kaisa's kid, the son of the hero of the country, reinvigorated back to his old happy self, and hanging off Naruto like a leech for 5 days, did tons to improve the way Naruto was seen, especially when he took it upon himself to do things like use the clones to try and fish for people that were hungry, even when his clones were helping build the bridge from the underside by just sticking to it. Naruto nodded. Yeah, I gotta go back to my village. I still got things I need to do for myself. Can't stay here forever, he gestured at the finished bridge. Besides, you guys had the bridge now. No one's seen Gato since that day we beat his guys. That chuckle. And you guys did wind up looting his place. A round of laughs came from the workers that had broken into his place and pretty much cleaned it out. He then noticed Inari with his head down, shaking. Hey, are you crying? It's all right to cry when you're happy, you know. No, Inari exclaimed, looking up, visibly holding back. Why would you think I'm doing something like that? Are you going to cry? Yeah, right. And he wasn't. Naruto had already cried once on this trip, and he was lucky no one saw it to call him out on it later. He was also lucky that his goggles were dark and thick enough that no one could see the water building up in the corner of his eyes, and that they were currently over said eyes. I was just trying to set up an excuse for you when you start bawling like a baby, he smirked. He knew he had won by Inari turning away from him to hide sniffles. Yep, nobody ever checked under the eyewear for tears. Kakashi cut everything short. Well, it's about time we head home. Our job is done. Choji and Sakura waved to everyone while Sasuke gave them all a stiff nod and left it at that. Thank God. I take back what I said about C-ranks being better. Give me a good, calm D-rank mission. It's far less trouble. Goodbye, Ina said happily. And try not to let some short guy take control of your country again. Sakura nudged Ino on the elbow before saying that before she spoke well. If you need help again, come back to Konoha. Maybe we'll come back. We'd be glad to. After saying a few more goodbyes, Kakashi and Asuma got the show on the road, began leading their genin, and even Haku with them towards the Land of Fire and Village Hidden Leaves. So, Father, Tsunami said once the teams of shinobis were at the edge of sight, the bridge isn't really complete yet. You still have to name it. Tazuna looked at her, realizing she was right, thinking something. Oh, I got it. How about the super awesome great bridge that Tazuna built? He suggested, laughing raucously when he realized no one was going along with it. Okay. We need a name that will signify how strong this bridge is. We need a name that will let everyone know that this bridge will stand for 1,000 years. I got it, Inari yelled. How about the Great Naruto Bridge for the strongest guy I know? Tazuna looked at the horizon at the disappearing ninja as the people behind him began to chatter about the name. Apparently, it was rather appropriate for more than one reason, especially considering what the country was called before this, to be named after that person. All right, then. This bridge is now the Great Naruto Bridge. For the person that showed us that having the courage to stand up is real strength. Asuma was walking alongside Kakashi, ahead of the genin and Haku. Okay, Kakashi, you owe me for this mission, so I'm just going to need you to embellish the tale a bit. Kakashi lowered his book to give Asuma a skeptical bit. It's nothing major. Just when the story circulates, I need you to confirm that Tazuna's daughter was very, very good looking. Not an embellishment at all. Kakashi nodded in agreement. I also need you to say how she was so into me and didn't want me to leave. Kakashi made a sound to feign the thought over the matter before giving him an ice bottle. Nope. Asuma groaned. Come on, Kakashi. Just because you're fine with staying single, not getting laid, doesn't mean I don't have to be too. Prop me up there a little. I get laid, Kakashi said offhandedly, disputing Asuma's remark, but not going into any further detail on that. What exactly do you think a relationship is based off a lie will bring you in the end, Kuranai, Asuma replied, as if it were a fact. And she's a genjutsu mistress. If anyone can appreciate a well-woven illusion, it would be her, would it? Not directed around her, and not based off your machismo, Asuma. Kakashi said, shooting this theory down. Asuma ran a hand through his hair in defeat, knowing he wasn't going to get this out of Kakashi. Fine, but you still owe me. Once they hit a section of the path that split off from the second areas, Haku brought the convoy to a stop. I'm afraid this is where we part ways, she said, suddenly making everyone realize she wasn't taking the path back to Honoka. Haku was in her casual pink kimono that she had met Naruto with in the forest, so traveling inconspicuously would be easier. Naruto walked her towards her. You don't have to go, Haku. You can come back with us. You're not really a missing ninja, right? You said Zabuza never enlisted you. Haku shook her head. I can't begin my goal of fulfilling Zabuza's ambition by going with you all to Konoha. At least not as far as I can see right now. I have to start from the ground up. Thank you for allowing me to bear Zabuza's and retrieve his savings and supplies from our base. I hope our initial meeting hasn't left you with any hard feelings. It was never meant to be your person. It's no big issue, Kakashi said to her. Haku had been completely compliant and docile while she'd been a prisoner under their watch. Even having her hands bound for the vast majority of the time wasn't too much of a bother for her. Haku nodded and turned back to Naruto and said, "We're still friends, Naruto. Thank you for forgiving me and understanding why I did what I had to do. I also understand why I can't come with you." Naruto's frown turned into a small smile. "Sure, just make sure you keep in touch, Haku, and get stronger." "I will," she said with a small bow. "You do the same. Make sure you always keep your precious people safe, and that will bring you happiness. For what it's worth, I hope that you see that you have a friend in me." She began to head down the separate path. Turn one more time. "Goodbye, Leaf Ninja. I hope the next time we meet, it'll be under better circumstances, and I'm certain that they will be." With a goodbye said to Haku, the team set out towards the home once more. Only Naruto now had a serene smile on his face at having, in his opinion, helped a good person find something for themselves in their life. "Just look at him, Kakashi. I'm so proud," Asuna said about Naruto with a grin on his face, so loud he got everyone's attention. "His first time out of the village, and he's already turning into a world-wandering little heartbreaker, turning an enemy Kunoichi into a friend after just one night." "Textbook Ichi-Ichi," Kakashi said, adding his own two cents to the teasing. "She was tied up all night with her, and he was downstairs. You know, that sounds like this part of the story with..." "What?" Naruto said, in shock and embarrassment. "Are you kidding? Haku's a friend. There's no way that would ever happen." Ino took this moment to jump into her senses of late missing time. "Yeah, that's right. It won't happen. Naruto knows that he's way more into his Ino than that fake hunter ninja. Right?" Naruto explained, before realizing what he said. I started to start. "Damn it. I mean, no, that's not what I meant. Ino victoriously lashed on Naruto's arm. "Ah, Naruto, I knew it. You just can't help but love me, can you? Sorry, though, I'm taken." She sighed wistfully. "Sasuke is still the only one for me." Sakura got right into Ino's face. "Oh, here we go again with this. Get out of the way of true love, Ino pig. Sasuke's mine." And as would become the theme of the two teams, Ino and Sakura began to argue all the way up the road. Naruto, now forgotten by Ino's teasing, sighed in relief as he counted the buffer that Uchiha Sasuke was as a blessing in this instance. Asuma's hand found its way to Naruto's shoulders. He took Naruto's sign to smile. "It's alright, kid. Nice guys always finish last." Naruto did a double take and looked at his bearded sensei, who had a sagely look on his face. "Asuma, what in the hell? I mean, look at Sasuke," Asuma continued, gesturing towards the Uchiha, who was continuing to keep his cool and nursing a pulsing vein on his forehead as Ino and Sakura stood on either side of him, continuing to argue. Choji and Shikamaru were just ignoring everything altogether as they hung out. "Doesn't give him the time of day. Borderline treats him like crap. Yet they all flocked him. You know why?" At that point, Naruto was past the point of caring and shook his head with a dry look on his face. "Because no matter what they say, girls don't want a nice guy. No goody-two-shoes, kid." "It's true," Kakashi chimed in like clockwork. "The harder you try, the more she laughs in your face. Or did you not pick up that fact in the academy from Sakura?" Asuma pointed to Kakashi for making a valid point, ignoring Naruto's twitching eye, being reminded of his past failure to woo Sakura. "Nice guys finish last, kid. Not like me and Kakashi. We're studs." "Studs?" Naruto said questioningly, wanting nothing more than move out of Asuma's iron grip. Asuma nodded. "Quintessential stud muffins." "The studliest," Kakashi confirmed. "And don't worry, if you stick with us, you'll probably end up being a stud too. And that's not a bad thing, Naruto. That's a good thing." Naruto looked at the stoic masked man, his cigarette-toking sensei, and shook his head before turning his attention ahead. "Whatever you say," he said, not really caring and wanting this conversation over at this point in time. A few days later, Port Town, Gato was sitting at a table with a rather posh-looking hotel with a crushed newspaper in his hand. "Great Naruto Bridge," he said as if tasting it. "I've had it up to here with that podunk backlot or country anyways." A grin came to his face. "There's so many more places in the world that just waiting for my investment. And now that I know what works and what doesn't, and what not to do next time, it should be far easier than me." He laughed himself. He just poured himself a glass of wine. "Yes, it's just good business after all." How to train your genin. Tip 8. Motivation is key. It's very difficult in this world to get someone to do something for nothing. Everything in this world is done with a particular positive reaction in mind. You do your job well so that you get paid and can possibly make more money the next time around. People do other people favors in hopes that one day the favor will be reciprocated. The same approach can be taken with training from time to time to give your getting a little extra kick in the routine. Just because getting better at something will only be an incentive to work their hardest for so long, many ninja the getting level peter out because they run out of motivation to improve and get better. You simply become content with their lot in their life. Having a high top goal helps with this, but as a jonin, you can help along their improvement if you simply find what it takes to get your genin to get themselves into gear to work a little bit harder right then. Offer to treat them to something they otherwise wouldn't get that often for completing a task important to their growth and development. Get them to go back and drill that formation, execution, and exercise again and again by saying if it's done flawlessly, they'll be allowed a day off, or their choice of the next mission. Things along those lines will slowly build over time, since any improvement is marked improvement, and that is your job as a sensei, to help your students improve. A cheap little trick is basically bribery. Like basic bribery is more than acceptable to get your getting squad to exert a little more effort, because sometimes when 110% is desired, you have to coax it out. Ongoing stats. Out of 5, Team 10, Sarutobi Asuma, Ninjutsu, 4.5, Taijutsu, 4, Genjutsu, 3.5, Intelligence, 4, Strength, 4, Speed, 4.5, Stamina, 3.5, Hand Seals, 3.5, Total Score, 31.5, Uzumaki Naruto, Ninjutsu, 2, Taijutsu, 2.5, Genjutsu, 0.5, Intelligence, 1.5, Strength, 3, Speed, 3, Stamina, 4, Hand Seals, 1, Total Score, 17.5, Nara Shikamaru, Ninjutsu, 2, Taijutsu, 1.5, Genjutsu, 2, Intelligence, 5, Strength, 1.5, Speed, 2, Stamina, 1.5, Hand Seals, 1.5, Total Score, 17, Yamanaka Ino, Ninjutsu, 2, Taijutsu, 1, Genjutsu, 1.5, Intelligence, 2, Strength, 1, Speed, 2.5, Stamina, 2, Hand Seals, 2, Total Score, 14. Team 7, Kakashi Hatake, Ninjutsu, 5, Taijutsu, 4, Genjutsu, 4, Intelligence, 4.5, Strength, 3.5, Speed, 4, Stamina, 3, Hand Seals, 5, Total Score, 33. Uchiha Sasuke, Ninjutsu, 2, Taijutsu, 2.5, Genjutsu, 1.5, Intelligence, 2, Strength, 2, Speed, 3, Stamina, 2, Hand Seals, 2.5, Total Score, 17.5. Akamichi Chojin, Ninjutsu, 3, Taijutsu, 2, Genjutsu, 0.5, Intelligence, 0.5, Strength, 3, Speed, 1, Stamina, 2, Hand Seals, 1.5, Total Score, 13.5. Sakura Haruno, Ninjutsu, 1, Taijutsu, 1, Genjutsu, 3, Intelligence, 3.5, Strength, 0.5, Speed, 1, Stamina, 1, Hand Seals, 3, Total Score, 14. Miscellaneous Affiliation, Haku, Ninjutsu, 3.5, Taijutsu, 1, Genjutsu, 1, Intelligence, 4, Strength, 1.5, Speed, 4, 2, Stamina, Hand Seals, 4, Total Score, 21. Author's notes. I'm done with Wave. I don't think I'll write it again. There are only so many ways to do it. I've only written it twice before, and I think I'm finished with it for good. It's a narrow path of the storyline that can only be taken in so many ways, no matter how many times you slice it. But hopefully, my way pays dividends later in the story, because I've got some still planned that will blow your mind. So make sure you start reading the story with a helmet after I take it past the tuning exam arc, or maybe later than that. I'll have to see where the ideas factor in. Gato's alive because a big businessman with nearly inexhaustible funds is a fantastic antagonist, and he's so slimy you can't help but hate him. This is furthered by the fact that unlike every other villain in Naruto, he can't fight or defend himself against even a genin. Hell, probably not even an academy student. So you know that when he gets his, it's going to be good. And I plan on making it damn near orgasmic, because I'm an evil bastard, as you may or may not know, and will come to see at some point. I guarantee that when the time comes, many of you will be screaming for his blood, and I will laugh like a lunatic, because that's what I wanted all along. Anyway, you drop me a line like always, and I'll turn and shake into kind. Catch you later. Kenshi out.